Cool. Can everyone hear me all right? Can you hear me? Oh, great. Cool. So this evening, as I was preparing, I want to share on two things. The first thing, I just felt to talk a little bit about exegesis. So that's a fancy word, which means how to interpret scripture and how we when we read the Bible, how do we read it in context and read it how the author intended it to be read? And the second part, I'd love to just look at a passage of scripture that we're all really familiar with, in Luke 15. But I just really sense that the Lord wants to speak to us again through it. So I want us to go back there again. In preparation, I went through at the start of the year. I hope you remember we went through what it means to be God's people in the earth, and we had some really good talks looking at what it means to be followers of Jesus here in the earth, 21st century Bristol, UK, and there were some really practical talks. So and I really enjoyed listening back to them. So I'd highly recommend doing that. So I'm going to be touching on, it's funny because I sensed as I was preparing and then I listened back, I was like, oh, I think you're still saying the same thing. And God tends to do that. He kind of, just reminds us of things. So yeah, let's commit this time. Holy Spirit, I give you this word. I pray that you'd lead us. And that you would open your word to us and you would speak to us afresh. Amen. So I'd love to start by just talking about reading the word and how we interpret the scriptures. I think one of the things that's brought me or kind of prompted me to do this was reading the Old Testament and particularly just reading through the book, the prophet Isaiah. And it's really interesting because I think if you read passages out of context or you read sentences or paragraphs out of context, you could come up with some really I think unhelpful conclusions. And I think like all of scripture, I think it's so important that we read it in context. We read it in the context of the culture that it was written in, that we think about who was speaking and who they were speaking to. We think about the time that it was written, but we also think about how it fits within the biblical narrative. So we think about the flow of scripture. We think about at what stage is this passage being written or recorded. And I was in conversation with a friend a few years ago, and we were just trying to encourage each other in the Lord, and it was a bit of a home group situation. And this friend of mine, he quoted Matthew 15, no, Matthew 5, sorry. And he said, Bruce, we're talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about, but he quoted the sentence, he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And my friend was sort of drawing the conclusion that God brings bad things to the righteous and the unrighteous alike, and that it doesn't matter what we do, God's going to bring, he's going to bring bad things as well as good things. And as we reflected on that passage together, we realized that we had quite, I kind of just shared with him like we that had to take that point of view, we'd have to have very British goggles. Obviously, in Britain, we don't like the rain so much. We write songs like "Why Does It Always Rain on Me" and stuff like that. But obviously, in the context of the Near East, like rain was a massive blessing of the Lord, and it was the provision. Well, part of it's is actually in His promises as well that He will send the rain, and there were times of judgment where he withheld the rain. So it's interesting that, my friend very innocently and I understand why, but he read it and thought, interpreted the scripture a certain way when actually it probably wasn't the most a fair interpretation of the scripture. And we talked about it as friends, and it was good to go there. But I just wanted to highlight that simple example as example that sometimes, you know, symbols, behaviors, beliefs, they're not universal, and we need to really get into the minds and the lives of the people, you know, that the Word of God speaks about and speaks, and who recorded it, if that makes sense. Because these words, they're not said in a vacuum. They're spoken by people or written by people in a time and a place, in a culture and in a literary style. And maybe I don't want to go too far down that one, but I find literary style very interesting as well. And it's important for us to consider when we're reading a book of the Bible, what literary style that we're reading. So having said all that, I'd like us to look at Luke 15, which is a really famous passage. Because I feel like the Lord really wants to just highlight some things. And I think there's a real grace on the church right now in this lockdown pandemic era. And I think into the post-pandemic, our lives after lockdown, I really sense that there's a real grace for seeking the lost. I think there's a real grace on the church. And there's going to be almost like a new ease of reaching out to people that we're going to experience. That's what I sense anyway. And I want to offer that to you today. So let's look at Luke 15 together. Which Bible do I want to use? This one. So I'm just going to read from verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." The first thing that I just want to highlight, just off the back of talking about exegesis, is that, and this might be more for me than for you, but because I'm a bit more of a literal person, but it might be worth mentioning that not all the tax collectors and the sinners are there. But what the writer is saying is that there were a lot of people and that were recognized as sinners drawing near. So again, that's like an example of not, you know, considering like what the literary style here. This is like a classic ancient Near East style. To say all or everyone is really to say that there was lots of, if that makes sense. And the context here is that there are people that are despised, people that know their need of God, that are drawn to Jesus. And that's the context in which the backdrop is. But verse 2, it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners.'" And verse 3 says, "So he told them this parable." So we know straight away from verse 3 that the preceding parables, although they're in the context of him being with sinners, they're actually aimed at these Pharisees. And I think that's really important to remember, is that he is speaking to a group of people when he begins to share on these parables. So although we can definitely glean from these parables, they are wonderful, and in a lot of ways they're timeless. We need to also remember in the back of our minds that Jesus is saying these parables, although in the hearers of lots of people, he is also addressing the hearts and the mindset of these Pharisees that are coming to speak with him. And he's he chooses these stories and these metaphors and these stories very cleverly. Like they're very deliberate. And I just want to just break down briefly a couple of the things that perhaps the Pharisees would have been thinking about as they heard the words of Jesus. So if you're still tracking with me, let's just imagine that we're Pharisees listening to this parable. So in the first parable, as you know, it's the good shepherd pursuing the lost sheep. And as we've said before, this picture of shepherd and sheep, although it's probably quite remote now for us in our culture, for the Pharisees in particular, who knew the Word of God and they knew what we call now the Old Testament so well, there was a lot of, that's actually quite a loaded metaphor straight away. So the first thing that they might be thinking of is Psalm 23, where Jesus is, in response to the Pharisees, starts to describe what the true shepherd is like. He describes the shepherd that pursues the sheep, not a shepherd that would make up a story and say, well, I lost the sheep because, you know, and make up some falsehood. But there's this sense of the shepherd really deeply cares about his sheep. And but I think what I've learned recently just through reading the Old Testament as well is that there's a passage in Ezekiel that I wasn't very familiar with, Ezekiel 34, which I found just really eye-opening. And I'm sure the Pharisees would have been very familiar with this. So in the parable, the good shepherd is Jesus, it's him. But in the Old Testament, there are portions where the shepherds are almost referred to as the leaders of Israel. And there's a portion in Jeremiah, but I'm going to read one in Ezekiel. So remember that you're a Pharisee, guys. Just listen as you would as a Pharisee, all right? So the word of the Lord came to me. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, and you have not healed the sick. And you have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the stray. You have not sought the lost. Isn't that interesting? So that imagery that the prophet Ezekiel is just clearly outlining, Jesus is actually taking that along with Psalm 23, and he is making a comment about their leadership. In the way that I'm reading it, that although Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees about what they are doing and their leadership, he's openly very quick with them. He's also looking to speak about himself. Now, I wouldn't have gathered that much before unless I had read that passage, and I just wanted to highlight that with you because it really brought a lot of context for me, just reading it, almost like through the ears of the listener, that the Pharisees would have been in no doubt what Jesus was saying through this very simple parable about a shepherd and a lost sheep. The Pharisees would be in no doubt about what Jesus was really saying to them. And I just found that really, really profound. And there are lots more examples like that. Um, What I love about this parable, if I could just change gear a little bit, is the simplicity of it. There's a thread through it. And I love that each parable in Luke 15 sort of builds on each other, from shepherd to the good woman to the good father. I feel like the Lord's still wanting to say to us that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That it's really as simple as that, that Jesus came in person so that he could save. And now I just sense his invitation. I hear the words that he's speaking to the Pharisees, and I'm just sensing the Lord's invitation to be good shepherds now. Mum gave me a really special gift when I became associate pastor, which was this little carved out picture of a man, and he's tending for a lamb and a sheep, and it's a really wonderful like visual reminder that I sense this is part of his invitation for us as well, is that we're in a season where he wants us to go after the lost. And I believe that the parables are deliberately simple, and they've got a deliberate, simple thread that something was lost, and then there was an earnest pursuit of it. And then it was found, and there was a celebration. Well, particularly in the first two parables, that's the thread. And what's really interesting in Luke, soon after, Jesus comes face to face with a lost sheep in a person known as Zacchaeus. And as I was just reading through Luke, I just couldn't help but see the pattern almost of this similar sort of this flow, if that makes sense, that Jesus encountered this person that who knew they were lost, and then Jesus invited himself to his home, and that Zacchaeus was found, and that there was a sense of like a banquet at the end, a celebration, and Zacchaeus declared that he would give back everything that he had stolen. And then Jesus says at the end of this passage, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And just before that, salvation has come to this home, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And I guess I just sense that the Lord's invitation is that he wants us to play our part. He wants us to be involved. This is, although he is the ultimate good shepherd, and he is at work by his spirit. He's moving on the earth today, and he's reaching out and speaking to people. By his grace, he wants us to participate. He wants us to be the voice and the face and the arms of him, the good shepherd. He wants us to offer the table and the friendship that, similar to Jesus with Zacchaeus, he wants us to extend the love of the good shepherd to those around us. And some of the things that just really stand out from the parables is that there's a real intentionality from all, both the shepherd, the woman, and the father. There's a real, nothing is happening off the cuff per se. It's all very intentional, and there's a real cost to it. And that really challenged me. There's a sense that reaching out to the lost in my own life probably looks quite convenient. No, inconvenient. It means making time. It means putting stuff off. It might mean planning things. It might mean walking across the road and knocking on a door. It might mean inviting someone into our home when the time is right, obviously, not during lockdown. It might mean keeping company with those that might not be the people that you would normally spend time with. But when we have the heart of the good shepherd, there is so much rejoicing when the lost is found. There is so much rejoicing in heaven, the passage says, when the lost is found. And when we connect with the heart of the Father, it's one of our great, great, great delights to be the arms and the love of the shepherd, pursuing those that are perhaps really resistant to us, that aren't necessarily kind of, leaping in our arms, but they're on a journey. So I hope that encourages you. It's been really speaking to me that we've got such a message, we've got such an important person to represent, and such an important invitation to give people, that in this fearful, anxious world, that we can offer them real peace and real hope, and to encounter a real Father and a real Savior, a real deliverer, a real tangible friend and deliverer. That with Jesus, there's always hope. There's always a way. There is never a situation that's beyond hope with Jesus. And that message alone is such a powerful one, and I think it's one that the world needs to hear in different ways and in different times. And I'm just so encouraged by that, because, listening back to our series at the beginning of the year, we have a testimony. We have a testimony about Jesus that is so precious, and it's so important that we remember that, and we're unashamed of that. At the same time, are we willing to and ready to go and reach out and pursue those lost ones, those that deep down know that they're lost? Yeah. So I'm going to stop there. I feel like I could carry on, but I think that's great. So, Dad, what are your thoughts? What do you think we could do next? Do you want us to break up?